Indeed, and our special guest, Dr. Bernie Beitman, as we talk about his work, Connecting with Coincidence, and we'll take your calls this hour, perhaps your stories too, on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Bernie, before we go to calls, you had a story you wanted to tell us, so go ahead.
Yeah, the contribution I'm trying to make to explaining some coincidences, not all of them, has to do with the term simulpathy, which I'll explain, and the idea that we each of us contain in our mind of brains a GPS-like capacity, that we can find our ways to people, things, and ideas that we need to go to without knowing how we do it, but we get there. The story involved my father and me. Okay. When I was 31 years old, I was choking on something at a sink in a Victorian house in San Francisco. I couldn't get the thing out of my throat.
Horrible feeling.
And finally did. It was 11 p.m. in San Francisco. The next day, my brother called to tell me that my father had died at 2 a.m. East Coast time. So 11 p.m. San Francisco time.
Jeez.
2 a.m. East Coast time. He had bled into his throat, and he must have choked to death. That was a stunning experience, particularly since it happened on my birthday.
Yeah. Oh, my.
So to me, it was my father saying, remember me, remember me. And I do, and I write about it. So this experience of the pain of a loved one at a distance became an obviously interesting and important experience for me. Since then, I have found lots of cases myself, have read books by Ian Stevenson, who you may know from past lives research, and from our study participants, many of whom said they sometimes have the experience of feeling the pain of a loved one at a distance. Again, that's the original definition of telepathy, but now I use the term simulpathy, meaning experiencing at the same time, simultaneously, the pain of a loved one at a distance. That ability to pick up the feelings of someone important to you at a distance can then get applied to when a person who you love is in trouble. And the human GPS capacity allows us to get to help that person, even if the person is in a place we've never been, but it helps us find the way to get there. And a story of a participant in the research, a woman in her late teens was about to use her father's gun to kill herself out in the woods someplace. As she was thinking about it, miles away from home, a car pulled up. It was her brother, who said, get out of the car, get out of the car. And she said, why are you here? He said, I don't know, but something drew me here.
And he had no idea that she was about to kill herself.
There are lots of other stories like that, George, and that becomes a pairing of interesting parapsychological or psi events, the kind of simulpathy experience, feeling the pain of a loved one at a distance, and then this human GPS. And the funny thing about the human GPS is that recently two Scandinavian researchers have been awarded the Nobel Prize for identifying a human GPS capacity in the brains of rats and presumably of human beings, located in the parahippocampal gyrus of each of us. These place cells, or grid cells as they are both called, help us define where we are in three-dimensional space. They don't tell us how we get from one place to the next and work like your aunt did, perhaps, and certainly the work of Rex Stanford, who developed something called psi-mediated instrumental responses. That's a mouthful, but it means the same thing as being able to pick up somehow important information and making yourself act to get there without knowing how you did it. So those are there, that capacity, the PMI, this GPS plus simulpathy put together, I'm trying to be able to study more clearly and suggest not only that we have it, but develop a theory about how it might work.
It is amazing when it does work, when it starts to flow. And it seems to happen more and more. Once you get into what I call the zone or the groove, it seems to be more prevalent, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. Coincidences or synchronicities are sometimes excellent markers of being in the zone. And doing this book I've gotten into the zone with this book. The stuff that happened to make this happen it's pretty amazing to watch it. My favorite one of those is, of course, you try to do PR for a book. You got to do promotions.
You got to work at it. Yep.
You got to work at it. But 2 weeks before the book was launched, Atlantic Magazine, or used to be known as the Atlantic Monthly,
that's right,
published an article about coincidences, and I was one of the prominent people featured in it 2 weeks before the book came out. How does that happen, George? How does that happen? Well, that's free promotional stuff that gave the book promotion a huge boost, and I didn't do it on purpose, George.
It is just, when it happens, you just have to start going with it, I guess.
You go with it, but I have to wonder, how did it happen? And I have my theories about it, and how can I use it, and what does it mean to me that it happened? And the reason I bring it up to what you just said is it was another indicator of being in the flow.
Exactly. Let's take some calls here for you, Bernie. Let's go to Sal in Ohio to get us started. Hey, Sal, good morning.
Oh, George, good morning. I had a coincidence bigger than a coincidence. See, in 2013, I decided I was going to pray every day. So I went out and bought a rosary, and because this religious television station, every day at 3:30, they pray a rosary, and I would pray along with that program, you know, for a half hour.
Sure.
And with the rosary, they allow you a request. Every rosary you can request a request. And my request at that time was to the Virgin Mary to ask God that if I backslide on these attempts to pray, you know, catch me and push me forward. So one day, it's getting to be about 3:30, and I was working out a problem with my checking account or something, and I decided, well, I got to figure this out. I'll just miss the rosary today, you know. And I ran out, my pen ran out of ink right at 3:30. I'm not kidding you.
There you go.
So it's not just a coincidence that at prayer time, my pen ran out of ink. That was also my request.
So, that's great. That's great.
Do you think, Brian, that's a great story. Do you think there are outside forces that get involved in these synchronicities, these coincidences?
Yes.
Is it like from the other side? Spirits, the spirit world, do they do this? Something's happened.
Well, I think we're immersed in this psychosphere, and the psychosphere has lots of different activity in it, and I'm trying to develop a kind of a map of the psychosphere, and there are collections of entities or ideas or intense emotional idea-filled, whatever you might call them, bubbles out there that can intervene, make some effect on the way we think and what we do. That's as far as I've gotten. People call them, what you just said, the various entities out there that we might want to embody as spirits. I don't know, but there is something else other than us chickens sitting here. But I'm trying to be able to see how much we contribute to these things and how much it looks like we have to point and wonder about some other influences on us. We're not alone. We're not here by ourselves. We are here with each other. And it appears that there probably is more than just all of us together influencing what goes on around us.
Can we use these synchronicities, these coincidences, to better our lives?
Well, that's my major point. I'm a psychiatrist. I see patients. And Jung's most specific definition of synchronicity, and some Jungians only use synchronicity for those events in life that help us grow psychologically, help us individuate. I call it counseling by coincidences, and coincidences help us develop our own individuation paths. I have a story if you'd like to hear it, or you want to go on to it.
No. We'll take more calls in a second. Go with the story. And also, I took your weird survey test during the break. I got 58 points. It's pretty good.
You're up there, George.
I'm up there. That's right. But go ahead.
You are up. You're ultra sensitive.
Excellent.
You are ultra sensitive for sure.
So what's the story?
One of our research participants was about to pick up her husband from whom she'd been separated with the idea that they would get back together again and he would live in the house again. The plane was late, and for some reason, a woman called her number. It was a wrong number, but the woman on the other side of the line started talking about her abusive husband and how difficult it had been for her when he came back to live with her. The study participant listened to the fear in this woman's voice and said, "I think this is a message from God. I've got to make sure that my husband becomes my ex-husband and he's not coming home." And that's what she decided.
Mm-hmm. Jeez. Well, it saved her.
Well, the trouble with some of the stories is that you don't know what the consequences are.
And they all have consequences. All of them.
Have consequences. But this one looked like she knew it was the right idea because she'd written the story well after the event happened. So I think it worked out very well for her.
All right, back to the calls we go. Brenda is in Boise, Idaho, west of the Rockies. Hello, Brenda.
Hi, good evening. Good morning.
Yeah, good to have you with us.
Oh, thanks. Serendipity, synchronicity, amazing. I'm not typically up this late.
There you go. It's happening already.
You got it. Yeah, and I catch you as often as possible, and my work schedule changed so that it's now, second shift. So, anyway, but it was just amazing to hear both of you talk about everything that just completely identifies with what I have ever lived for. Well, I'm 54, and for I'd say the last 30 years, I've maintained that everything happens in right time and order for a reason. If we're open to that, and to pay attention to all the little nuances and connections that happen instead of getting angry because something doesn't go our way, or just tell me your blessings, etc. I was raised in the kitchen, and I saw the hypocrisy. I'm not religious, but I'm very spiritual, and I pray a little creed, Father Creator, even when I drive my car, and I count my blessings, and I, like I told your screener, just calling in, was like busy, and then I heard the story of, oh gosh, I'm so sorry, your guest's name, anyway.
Dr. Bernie.
Bernie, yes, of course. Talking about his dad, and I was like, all right, stop calling. And I listened, and that reminded me of my dad. And then it felt like the right time to call, and I got right through. And it was like, right on. Things do happen in right time and order.
They do happen when you least expect it. It's
very nice.
How about timing, Bernie? Timing's important, too, isn't it? Being in the right place at the right time, being prepared and ready. Maybe you should be schooled for something, and then that opening, that job pops up, and you're there, and you get it because you train for it. That's all important, too, isn't it?
Luck is when opportunity meets preparation. That's what you just said.
Yep.
And timing, Timing is, you can be prepared, but you got to be confronted with the opportunity. And opportunities are out there. I think our human GPS sometimes leads us to opportunities. But there's another funny little problem that some people get into. They can be prepared, they can have an opportunity, but they don't make that final move. They don't ask the question. They don't start the conversation.
And they should.
Yeah, you got to do the ask. If it's there, and if you're there, and she or he's there, and you feel something, you got to start talking. And what makes one person talk when the opportunity is there and she is prepared, and the other person not talk? That's a crucial question, but you got to initiate it. You can't just let it go. Opportunity knocks, but it also leaves the door unless you open it.
How many people don't react to it, don't understand it, don't pick it up? You know, almost like that feeling, that gut instinct that they don't react to. I think a lot of people...
They don't have that intuitive, I need to respond. That's right. They don't have it.
Can they get it? Can they be trained to get it?
Yeah. The simplest way to get it is to have one very large Lollapalooza of a coincidence happen to you and change your life.
It wakes you right up, doesn't it?
I mean, just go, oh, wait a minute, there's something going on here. What is this? I don't understand it. And you start looking for more of them. But most people aren't like that. To be trained in it is reading books about coincidences like mine. So as the woman who called said, you are tuned in to nuance. You're looking at smaller things and trying to see how they might be correlated to things that you need. It's so much fun sometimes to look around at your environment as a kind of a bunch of posters of trying to instruct you about how to do this or how to think that. You've got to look, though. You got to look at the teacher. You got to listen to the teacher before you can learn anything.
It's truly remarkable at how it changes your life if you pick up on it the right way. It really is.
I would be missing something if I didn't say that you can pick up on coincidences and respond to them, but some of them will get you in trouble. Some of them, the trickster is playing with you, or you're misinterpreting them in a way that you want them to come out.
You don't read it the right way.
You got to learn to read it the right way, because reading it the wrong way, which includes relying only on the coincidence to guide you and not using it as part of the decision-making process, has gotten many people in trouble.
Yeah, I believe that. Time and time again. Bad instincts, I guess. You never know. We're going to come back in a second, Bernie, with final phone calls with you, and you can tell us where we can get your book, too, Connecting with Coincidence. And his website is all linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. And also don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you can do all that by going to coasttocoastam.com in the far right-hand corner. Just click the button and do so. And then you can also email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. And we'll be back in a moment. We'll take your final phone calls, final segment with Dr. Bernie Beitman, as we talk about his work connecting with coincidence. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk about Armageddon, so make sure you're part of it. It's a great read, Bernie. Where can people pick up your book, Connecting with Coincidence?
Amazon is an easy way to do it. Just put it in the Amazon search.
Great. Or we spell your name Beitman.
You got it.
All right. Dr. Bernard Beitman, and you go by Bernie, which is pretty good.
Yes.
What do you think of the other Bernie, by the way?
He's got some ideas that we need to pay attention to. The country needs a big change, and people are looking for it with looking at Trump and considering Bernie.
Are you, as a psychiatrist, are you noticing that people are just fed up with things these days? They're uptight? And they're just done with things, Bernie.
There's a vast disappointment in the government being bought by moneyed interests and not taking care of roads and people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of anxiety, as you're suggesting, a lot of anger. People are withdrawing.
They're short. I'm seeing more road rage, Bernie, than ever out there.
Really?
Oh, my God. You walk behind, drive behind some car, and you see somebody cut someone off, and the other one chases them. It's unbelievable. Oh, wow. My theory of road rage, and as a psychiatrist, is the bad driver or the rude driver does something to somebody who's having a bad day, and that person then goes off and road rages. That's my theory. What do you think?
That's good. That's very possible.
All right, let's go to the final calls here for you. We'll go to Jeff in Culver City, California. Hey, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hi, George and Mr. Biteman. What I'd like to know is if there's any way to avoid a coincidental possibility or probability, you know, whether it's good or bad, the situation. And by this question, you know, I'll give an example. There's four sides to a street, north, south, east, and west. Now, in four separate scenarios, I'm, you know, to meet someone who I haven't seen in decades. One of the high school sweethearts, one of the, you know, a friend, a best friend, one is a relative, and one is a coworker, you know, coming from all different directions. Now, no matter which direction I choose, I'm going to meet someone I know in either direction. How can this be explained or avoided? And am I destined to meet any of these people no matter which direction I choose? And I'll take the answer.
Sounds like a science test for you, Bernie.
I haven't heard it posed this way. If you imagine meeting one particular person, like the old high school girlfriend, you reduce the probabilities of meeting her meeting someone you know because you've picked one particular person to know. If this happens a lot, people report running into people they know in faraway places and strange places. I ran into a cousin of mine in a Pittsburgh airport. We didn't live in Pittsburgh, and we had like a 30-second window to run into each other. This happens fairly commonly, that you run into people in faraway places that you know. The more you don't specify who you're going to run into, the more likely you'll run into somebody who you know. From the scenario you described with the four streets, north, south, east, and west, and people coming from all directions, the only way I can see avoiding running into one of them is to dig a hole and climb into it and let them all walk by. Because if you keep moving, you're going to run into one of them. I'm not sure that is what you are asking. There is another variable in here that you may be implying. If you don't want to run into somebody, if there's somebody you want to avoid,
yeah.
I think our human GPS capacity allows us to do that also.
What if that other person, though, has got his or her antenna out and they seek you out? That's possible.
I'm glad you bring up the other people, because we can want something for ourselves, but there are other people wanting something for themselves, too.
That's right.
And that can obviously come into some kind of conflict. So that's all I want to be able to say in response to that, because I have another story in which the husband wanted a house and the wife didn't, to buy a new house for them.
Mm-hmm.
The house was bought by somebody else right before they were able to pick it up, but then they went on vacation and got the message that the house was back on the market, and he jumped for it, and she didn't want to do it, and he got it. Now, she didn't want it, he went for it. So by the coincidence of the house not being sold, he got what he wanted, and she didn't get what she wanted. The marriage ended, and that was a sign of discord between the two of them.
Wow. That's all it took, huh?
Well, there was more to it than that.
It must have
Sometimes
been.
These are just signs.
Yeah.
Just it. But it increased her anger at him for having picked the house she didn't want to go into. And who knows, maybe he picked it so she'd get mad at him.
Let's go to Bernadette in St. Petersburg, Florida now. Hello, Bernadette. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. My story is about how I won $50,000. I'll be very brief, but you must let me get to the condo unit number, okay? My birthday is March 4th. In July of 2012, I was living with my uncle. I told my uncle, I said, I can't save money and pay you also, and I would like to move. I said, so how about I not pay you for August, September, and October? I will be out of here November 1st. On October 8th, October 1st, I told the story on my Facebook page about how to keep currency flowing into your life, never do impulsive shopping, always try and give someone something every day if it's no more than a compliment, and never spend your change. Okay, that night I won $800. The following Monday was October 8th, 2012, taking a guy to work. Had normally been charging him $10. That day he only gave me $6. I said, that's okay. Something good's going to happen to me whenever someone mistreats me. Now, you know, that was only $4.
Were you a cab driver or what?
No. It was a neighbor. I was taking him to work.
Oh, okay.
And I drove the distance from St. Petersburg to Madeira Beach, okay? All right, so dropped him off, walked into this store. Now, this is the crazy thing, and I want to say to the doctor the word intention, because this I had intended to move in November. There was two display cases of lottery tickets. One ticket jumped out and called my name. I'm not joking, okay? But I did not buy that ticket. I went in there to eat breakfast. I walked over to the counter. I said, take your own advice. Go home and cook, okay? This is impulsive shopping.
Sure.
When I was walking out, I bought two different lottery tickets. Went to my car, scratched them. I won $5 on one of them. I went back in there. I bought that one ticket that called my name, went to the car, scratched the $50,000. I'm trying to get to the unit number, okay? On the ticket, I won on the number 4. My birthday is March 4th. The number in front of it was 13, so there was the 3 and the 4 together, okay?
Yeah.
All right. 2 weeks I'm calling to try to find, you know, myself this place that I was going to move into in November. I called, and this woman did not answer for 2 weeks, and I said, okay, maybe they don't want me there. I tried to reason it out. Anyway, when she did call me back, she said, I'd love to, you know, show you the unit. It was a condo that I had imagined, screen porch, in unit, you know, nice, of course. When she gave me the address, I won't tell you the address, but anyway, she said, it's building 3. I said, wait, ma'am, just wait one moment. Please don't tell me number 4. Building 3, unit number 4.
Synchronicity, coincidence, but you won
$50,000. $50,000, but can I ask the doctor?
Sure.
Where intention comes in, because I believe that we can create situations when we have, like, just recently two people died that I know, and I said, wow, I'd love to send the family some money, you know, that's the least I can do. And sure enough, situations came where I was able to get the money and able to send them some money because I intended to. So does intention come into coincidences at all? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you so
all
much,
right.
George.
Intention.
You're a very kind woman, and that helps with intention, I think.
That does.
Doing the right thing is often derided as the good intentions that lead to bad outcomes or good deeds, or no good deed goes unpunished. These are wrong. This woman is a very kind person with generally good intentions anyway. If you look at the chapter in my book on money, you'll see that intentions play an important part in being able to get unexpected money. It's expected but wanted, but unexpected because we're not getting it in the usual way. And being open to the possibility without grabbing is very, very important. To have the intention of wanting something, money or something else, but not trying to grasp it. Have the idea of it and then let it go, and then do things that seem to possibly might be helpful to you are all contributions. So intention matters. The most curious thing about what she said, George, was that ticket called out to her. That is the most interesting part of it to me.
Bernadette, come get baby. That's the ticket yelling her name, by the way.
Come to buy me. And you actually heard it saying that to you.
That's amazing. And she took it.
And that's so important that you can pick up information from what we think are things that can't do it. I have a tendency to go into the woods and listen to the trees talk. And I'm not the only one doing that. There are people who get into great communications with trees. And getting in tuned into an inanimate object that calls out to you, I don't know how much it's the object and how much of it was your ability to pick up that was the right object to get. They have to both be together, but it's a wonderful story. And that capacity you have to hear things grows out, I think, of a very warm and giving heart.
Let's go to first-time caller Milo now in Edinburgh, Texas. Hi there, Milo.
Hi, George.
Hey, thanks for holding so long.
Hey, you got a great show tonight.
Thank
and
you, sir.
I like Ancient Aliens, too.
Yes, that's a fun show.
Yeah, I've been connecting with you guys. I have similar stories, but I don't think you have enough time to listen to me. But I do have one that I'd like to ask Bernie, because
sure,
he seems to be very, very intelligent.
Thank you.
I have never asked anybody. I asked somebody once, but they never gave me an answer that would satisfy me. But it's a weird story. It's unbelievable.
Gosh, I wish we'd have a lot of time for it. Only have about a minute left. Do you think you squeeze it in real quick, Milo?
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was living in Kenosha, Wisconsin, working for American Motors. And I had a dream in the middle of the night, and I woke up. And I told my wife, wake up, wake up. The car's going to go by the road here, loud mufflers, it's one of those that had the road runner on the back with a stripe, with a charger.
Yeah.
And it's going to have a wreck 2 blocks from here. And we lived on 52nd Street. And then we heard the car. She said, go to sleep. You were dreaming. I said, yeah, I was dreaming, but it's going to happen. And then we heard the loud mufflers. The same thing that I described to her, it all happened. And then when we were coming back from the accident, because we went to render some help, we were walking back, you know, to the house. And she said, how did you know? How did I know what? How did you know that was going to happen? I says, I don't know. I wasn't even thinking about it. After that, things became weird with us, and I lost the love of my life, and I feel guilty about it.
Over that? Jeez. But you were tuned in, too. You were tuned in. Bernie, we're out of time, my friend, but good luck with everything. Keep in touch with us, okay?
Be glad to, George. Thanks for having me.
It was a great, great time to talk with you about this, connecting with coincidence. And, of course, you know my theory. I don't believe in coincidence. I think things happen for a reason. We make them happen. Call it synchronicity. But fascinating discussion with him, indeed. Stick with us all week long. We've got a great program for you for Nathan Staten, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.